The psalmist declares, "The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad." I want to welcome you all very sincerely here this afternoon in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so glad that you've been able to join us on this occasion. We're thrilled to see you and we welcome you very, very warmly. We're very grateful for the partnership that we have with you in the gospel and particularly in this aspect of involving Jonathan, Naomi and little Johan, who's got a lovely smile on his face even now. There are many churches represented here this afternoon. To begin to name them would court disaster as I overlook some. So please be assured that wherever you're from, you're very welcome here this afternoon. And a special welcome to members of both families, the families of Jonathan and of Naomi. David Gayton, the pastor from Dudley, is of course unable to be with us this afternoon as he has been preaching and is involved at the Bible school up at Stanton Lees this bank holiday weekend. He sends his apologies, and I would like to record my thanks to him for the fellowship he and I and the two elderships have enjoyed together in this matter. By way of notice, may I quickly ask you to make sure that your phone is turned off or to silent or to vibrate, please. If you need another room for whatever reason here this afternoon, there is a side vestry in the main foyer out there, or there are further rooms upstairs. Please avail yourself of those if you need to. Toilet facilities such as they are at the far end of the lower schoolroom. I know they're greatly stretched on an occasion like today, and I do apologise for that. But if you need the toilets, you need to go that way as far as you possibly can. At the conclusion of the service, Paul Brunning, the pastor from East Leek, is going to lead us in a final prayer, including the giving of thanks for the food, which we hope that you will stay to enjoy. Will you please, at the end of the service, if you are staying for further fellowship and for food, make your way through to the lower schoolroom that's out of here and turn left. Would you then please collect your food and find a seat, either in there or back in here or anywhere else that you fancy. And then sit down, and when folks are seated, drinks will then be brought to you. So that's instructions for you this afternoon. We're here to worship God, and after we've sung our opening hymn, Roger Hitchens is going to lead us in prayer, but now would you please join me in lifting our eyes and our hearts and our voices in worship of the God who reigns as we sing our opening hymn, 135, "Oh, what matchless condescension the eternal God displays," 135.
Now shall we bow our heads together and pray. Let's all seek the face of our God. Let's pray together. Eternal and ever blessed God, we do thank you again this day for that matchless condescension. We humble ourselves before you as we remember again that you, the mighty, eternal, unchanging, ever holy God, has deigned to think on us. And not only to think on us, but to send your own blessed Son into this world to redeem sinners such as we are and to make us your own dear children. And we thank you, Lord, that most of us who are gathered here are here because of that great saving grace that has been found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We bless you that Jonathan and Naomi are here because of that saving grace of God which has made them his own. And oh Lord, how we bless you that you are such a glorious and a faithful Saviour to all your own people. And we come this day to worship you and to acclaim your great wisdom and goodness. And whilst we think much of Jonathan and Naomi, we would think even more of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, our God, that this day, as we are here to contemplate that to which you have called your two dear servants, that you will also be very conscious of your presence, and we will be conscious of the wondrous mercy of our God who has loved us and has given his own dear Son for us. We ask then, Lord, your blessing upon everyone gathered here. Speak to every one of our hearts. Remind us, O God, that we are debtors to mercy alone and that we are those called to serve you where we are. And we pray, O God, your blessing on Jonathan and Naomi in particular. And do we ask that as we hear your word this day, you will speak to every heart. You will direct all our thoughts and all our thinking to him who has loved us and given himself for us. And our God, we pray, that this day may be crowned with all your people honouring you and some who know you not coming to salvation, and so Christ being vindicated. So hear our prayer and bless us this day for Jesus' sake. Amen.
We're going to hear from Jonathan and Naomi in a little while, but before we do that, Stan Braybrook, one of the elders here at Shepshed, is going to give a very brief history of how we've arrived at today from the church's point of view, in which he will speak of how warmly we are able to commend Jonathan and Naomi to you. Thank you, Stan.
The members of Shepshed Word of Life Church come this day with a real sense of privilege and indeed joy. We give thanks to God, whose face we have sought together on the matter of Jonathan and Naomi's calling and desire to be involved in seeing a church planted amongst a language group currently without access to the gospel. I recognise that much of what you hear from me now will be repeated by them, but I have been assured it's worth listening to twice. Naomi has grown up in the fellowship here at Belton Street, and since an early age has had something of a calling to overseas gospel work. Meanwhile, over at Dudley, it was in 2008 that the UBM reunion took place, and Jonathan, whose evangelistic activities have not only encompassed UBM, but have involved youth work at Dudley, door-to-door visitation, and indeed prison work, heard a talk by Daniel Moore on his work in Papua New Guinea. This presentation made a lasting impression on Jonathan as he heard how Daniel and his wife had learnt a language and culture, taught a village the truth contained in the Bible, and planted a church. Jonathan was struck by the realization that in places like Papua New Guinea, people die having never had an opportunity to even read the gospel. 3 years later, he was encouraged to pray and to continue to think about the possibility of being involved in this type of work. And in the summer of 2012, he set off to visit Daniel and his family. Here at Shepshed, it was in that same year that after many years of commendable Christian character and endless involvement in a variety of evangelistic activities, the church here made Naomi's future a matter of particular prayer, being very unclear as to where that might lead. It was around the same time in the providence of God that they met through their involvement in a French language project, and it quickly became aware that they shared very similar gospel desires. They soon shared a lot more. They married in May 2013 and were keen to begin training with New Tribes Mission that September. But we prevailed upon them to spend time acclimatizing to married life. And when in September 2014, we asked them to remain for at least another 12 months to give the church the opportunity to test further the gifts of Jonathan, the church united to pray about their future. We have been delighted with the many encouragement we have observed during those 12 months, as Jonathan has been regularly involved in preaching and teaching across a spectrum of ministries, including our day centre, young people's work, midweek meetings. More recently, this has been extended to Sunday services too. It was agreed, and we were greatly appreciative of the partnership with Dudley elders in this matter, that Jonathan had done all we had asked of him and more. What is more, the gospel courage of Jonathan and Naomi was the subject of observation and comment from outside the fellowship. As elders, we were satisfied that we had amongst us a couple with a credible testimony of God calling them to gospel work. This didn't mean that we thought that they were perfect or ready for the mission field. It wasn't saying that there weren't issues that will need to be addressed, but it was a recognition that we judged in faith God is at work here in the way described. As a result of our prayerful deliberations, a special church meeting was held on Monday, June the 8th, at which the elders unanimously and unreservedly proposed that the church now recognise in faith the call of God to Jonathan and Naomi Robinson to serve him together in gospel work, and as a consequence set them aside and send them to New Tribes Mission, initially from September 2015, for missionary training for a period of 2 years, with an option to undertake a third year of training should the extra year be appropriate for them. This proposal was unanimously passed by the church. Since then, they have been accepted on the Bible course at Northcotes, and God willing, they leave tomorrow with our warmest love, prayers, and fullest support.
Well, before Jonathan and Naomi respond, and I'm going to ask them to come up during the last verse of the next hymn, it seems appropriate that we sing together our second hymn, which speaks of the worthiness of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb, and how the whole church, made up of folks from every kindred, tongue, and nation, sing together his praise. Let's stand and sing hymn number 186.
we the most privileged people in the world, children of the living God, bought at a price, loved by the greatest and most loveliest being that exists in the universe. And today, Naomi and I, we grieve because there are groups of people in the world who do not know our glorious God like we do. And there are people groups with no translation of the scriptures, not a single Christian person in that language group to explain the glorious things of God to people in that language group. And we stand here amazed that God has opened a door for us to start training, that God willing would lead us to be involved in reaching such people groups. We look around this room and we see people who are far more able and far more spiritual than us, who would be far more capable than us for such a work. And if we were to create a list of people to be involved in this ministry, we wouldn't be on that list. But we want to give God all the glory today because he's opened a door for us to be involved in such ministry. We rejoice that in the way that God has brought Naomi and I together, who share this vision and desire. We rejoice that God has raised up a church here who's fully supportive of us and who is willing to set us apart and send us out. And we rejoice so much that God has raised up other churches and other people here today who are partnering with us in this ministry. And as we keep saying, we're just one link in the chain. And we're just one small part of this work. And I guess we all, in a sense, are one small part of this work. And who knows what the Lord will do. We rejoice that God uses the weak things of the world because we are such. And we rejoice that the gospel is the power of God. And so we stand enjoying privileged that God has led us to be involved in such ministry. And I want to finish by quoting a psalm, and it says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy and because of your truth."
Just remain there, Naomi, please. Asking Jonathan and Naomi to remain. And also then Tim Crump, please, from Dudley Baptist, and Jeremy Brooks from Welcome Hall Evangelical Cats Hill, to come and join us. As we now together commend Jonathan and Naomi and their circumstances to the Lord in prayer. Jonathan and Naomi, in the light of all that we've heard and all that we've seen of the Lord's gracious hand upon your lives, we have in faith recognised the call of God to you to serve him together in gospel work, and as a consequence have set you aside to send you to Northcotes College for missionary training. I'm going to pray for you. Tim is going to pray for the supporting churches and for their responsibilities. And Jeremy is going to pray for your families, for the language group with whom you will one day share, God willing, the glorious gospel of Jesus. And also Jeremy is going to pray for the success of the gospel in reaching the as yet unreached. Let's join our hearts together in prayer as I pray for them. Merciful God, our Father, we continue to humbly bow our hearts before you and stand in awe. We recognise that you are the Lord who reigns, the earth is to rejoice, the multitude of isles is to be glad. We recognise that you are the Eternal One, the Creator of everything that has been made. You're the God in whom we live and move and have our being. You're the ruler over all things. Infinitely wise, infinitely powerful, holy, holy, holy. And yet we're able to approach you, our Father, this afternoon because of your great redemptive love. And we praise you for so great a salvation. We thank you this afternoon with all of our heart for the Lamb, your Son, our Saviour. And we thank you that there on Calvary's cross, he who knew no sin was made sin for us. We thank you that this is love, not that we loved you, but that you loved us and sent your Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Very particularly here this afternoon, we thank you for your saving grace, both to Jonathan and to Naomi. Thank you that they know what it is to be born again of your Spirit and to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. We thank you, Lord, for the many good influences you have set over their lives. And we recognize your great grace, patience, mercy, and faithfulness to them. Thank you for bringing them together as husband and wife. Thank you for the gift of Johann. We recognize that it's you, Lord, who have put in their hearts that desire to serve you by taking the gospel to a language group as yet unreached. And we now commit them, their lives, and their training to you. Thankful, Lord, for this privileged opportunity. We pray for the faithfulness of their lecturers. We pray for Jonathan and Naomi that they would have the humility to meekly accept the truth of your word. Help them to be teachable and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Lord, bless and guard their souls. Strengthen their minds. Bless their walk. Strengthen and guard their marriage and all their service for you. Lord, even lead them in a matter of finding a local church there in Grimsby, we pray. And as they acknowledge you in all their ways, direct their paths, and may their love, faith, and hope grow as you prepare them and shape them for the future that you have planned for them. These mercies we ask of you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, our God, these are heady days indeed. And they must be heady days for Jonathan and Naomi. And Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity of joining in their excitement and their anticipation of the work they are about to do. But our God, we do recognize that such days do not last, as it were. Honeymoons do not last. And we pray, O Lord God, that when our feelings, which are so moved by this and that, and our emotions, which are so moved by this and that, when they settle down again, Lord, help us as individual fellowships and as individual people to be those who will indeed be supporters of these two dear people in the work that they are about to do. Lord God, it might be supporting them in prayer. It might be supporting them with financial gifts, with practical gifts, as they have to bring up a young child. Oh, our God, we know that you are able to bless even the widow's mite, even the five loaves and two fish. So we pray that you would bless the support which we trust we give to them. We pray, O Lord God, that you will help us when we write to them, that our letters might be full of Christ and full of the love for them and their circumstances, that we might indeed be able to hold the ropes for them, as it were. O God, we do commit them dearly to you, particularly in this first year, when they feel perhaps they just want to be out in the field. Oh God, help them to knuckle down and to listen to all that they hear in these days. Hear us, oh God, in all these prayers, because we bring them in the name of Jesus. Amen.
O Lord, our God and our Father, as we pray for Jonathan and Naomi as they go, so we pray for their families as they stay, as they are left behind. We thank you that there are many Christians in their families, and we pray that you would bless them and help them, each and every one. and any, O Lord, among their loved ones who are as yet unsaved. We pray that you would be pleased in your way and in your time to draw them one by one, ever so graciously, to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would be with the families as they will no doubt feel the distance and feel the parting. But we pray, O Lord, that as they share in this sacrifice, that the gospel might go to the ends of the earth, so, O Lord, that you would reward them greatly for their part in this work. We do pray, O Lord, for the unreached people group to whom we believe you will direct Jonathan and Naomi. We pray, O Lord, that in your time you would identify who this group are, where this group are, and that you would be preparing Jonathan and Naomi and others to join with them in a team to go and to live among these people, to translate the scriptures into their language, to share the gospel with them, and to see a New Testament church established among that people. We thank you, O Lord, for the Great Commission, the standing orders of the New Testament church to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And we thank you that now for 2,000 years the good news of Jesus Christ and of so great salvation has been going to the uttermost parts of the world. And yet we know too, our God, that there are still many people groups in our world today who do not know, who have never heard, and they need people to go and to tell them and to share the Lord Jesus Christ with them. So as we pray for Jonathan and Naomi and the call that you have given to them, so we pray, O Lord, that you who are the Lord of the harvest would raise up many others, other laborers, other workers, whom you would send forth, whom you would thrust out into your harvest field to reach the unreached with the glorious gospel of the blessed God, that all the world might hear, and that all the world might know, and that people from every nation and tribe and people and language may be gathered to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.
And all the people said, Amen. Let me just outline what will take place for the remainder of the service. In a few moments, we're going to sing our third hymn, and then we're going to have a reading, which will be given by Chris Jones, an elder here at Shepshed, who is also Naomi's father. Then Pastor McNabb is going to come and preach to us. I hope he's going to announce for us the closing hymn, after which Paul Brunning will come and lead us in that final prayer. And don't forget, if you're able to stay for fellowship and for food, you make your way through to the lower schoolroom, you take your food, you find a seat, you sit down, and when we're sat down, we'll be served drinks. Can I also mention that in the foyer there is a box, should you wish to make a gift towards Jonathan and Naomi's financial support. That would be very gladly received. Let's join our hearts and our voices together again once more. Let's stand and sing hymn number 484. We have heard the joyful sound, and the joyful sound is that Jesus saves. 484.
Our reading from God's word comes from 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5, starting at verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labour pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize that those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Now it's a privilege to be here, needless to say. I've not known Naomi, only seen her really, I think, the day that she was married, and maybe one or two others, but Jonathan, I've known Jonathan since he was a little lad, and just seen all the years how that God has led him and brought him to this day and this situation. I want to take, I think, what would be considered an unusual text for a commissioning service. But I believe it was very specifically laid upon my heart last week, just after I found that I was able to be here. And as I read the words, I wondered, first of all, could this be right? And yet the more I thought about them, the more I felt that God was, in fact, bringing a necessary word. And we're looking at 1 Thessalonians, and we've got these three verses. We'll only comment on one of them, but where we are told in verse 16 to rejoice evermore, in verse 17 to pray without ceasing, and in verse 18 in everything to give thanks. And you will remember that it's the trio of the always, that God's people should be always rejoicing, they should be always praying, and they should be always giving thanks. Now, I want us to take this matter of always giving thanks, because that is showing us that as Christians, we should have a positive, thankful spirit in every situation. Now, we are careful to note that it doesn't say for every situation, but in every situation. And as we look forward to what will be a life of service, this is the very thing that our Lord Jesus Christ said should be done. Sometimes there are things going on in churches these days, odd ideas, and you wonder sometimes, well, is this really right? But go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature is exactly right. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ has called us to do. And here we find two young people who are ready for this. Now, what I want to exhort them to do, and I trust that the Holy Spirit will grant us all to do, is to live lives of thanksgiving. There's a lot of grumbling going on in the world, a lot of negativeness in the news, and not only in the national news, but if you're in a supermarket or someplace, you'll hear people grumbling about this and grumbling about that and so forth. And of course, Christians. What grumbling there is in the churches. What dissatisfaction. And how often people are discontented. And I think perhaps we forget that here the Word of God gives a plain command. Not just an exhortation, if you'd like to take it or not, but a plain command: in everything, give thanks. Now, I wonder, would you say that's an indication of your lifestyle as a Christian? In everything, give thanks. It's interesting that we see that this is really the heart of a Christian obedience, a powerful exhortation. And when people are negative and unthankful, then it's a bad thing. It's even worse when it's a Christian. And it's even worse still when it's found in a minister or in a missionary. We are put in situations where we have to deal with people. And very often we have to deal with Christian people. And sometimes we find that giving thanks doesn't come easy. A life of complaining if we're not careful. And what happens is that a discontented spirit brings a great deal of heartache and a great deal of trouble. Well, here we're called upon in everything. I wonder if you can just call to mind now some of the situations in which you are unhappy. And you're not giving thanks. You're not giving thanks in it, but you're complaining in your spirit and maybe to other people, and you're not happy, you're not rejoicing as a Christian. In everything, give thanks. The Apostle Paul, he knew what he was talking about. He had those who were contending with him in his gospel work, as you may well find, people who sort of saw things differently. And they were opposing him and making life difficult for him. And this is in Philippians and in the first chapter. The text was the first sermon I ever heard Al Martin preach. And there were those who were opposing him in the gospel. And yet the apostle says this with a thankful spirit. He says, Christ is preached, and therein